Well, hello. Thank you for joining me for our online message for Christmas Eve, December 24th. I'm Pastor Terry. I am the teaching pastor here at Morningside Bible Church in Sioux City, Iowa. Take your Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 today. So let me lead you in prayer and we'll get into it. Father, we thank you and praise you for this Christmas season. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that it represents your love for us, that you sent the greatest Christmas gift of all time when you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to come to sacrifice his own life in order that we might be saved. Lord, we just pray that as we get into your word now, as we just consider some observations from that very first Christmas season, Lord, that you would just bless our hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, a Merry Christmas Eve to you. And if you have been watching our online message for some time, then out of habit, your fingers may actually be turning to the New Testament book of Colossians, where we have been the last several months. But allow me instead to redirect them to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, to a scripture that, while familiar, is most often read in the present context of Christmas. Verses 18 through 25, if you want to follow along with me, says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Men, do you remember the days and months of your engagement when you had fallen in love with the dream of your life? And what was even better, perhaps, and more unbelievable, she had fallen in love with you too. Then there came that time when you had made up your mind to ask her to marry you. And shock of all shocks, she said yes. I was rehearsing some of that in my mind last week as my wife and I celebrated our 41st wedding anniversary. I am still amazed and forever thankful to the Lord for what a blessing Sarah has been to me as we partner through life together. Today, on this Christmas Eve, I want to speak with you about the engagement and marriage of Mary and Joseph, but especially from the vantage point of when life doesn't go according to your plans. Or more accurately, when God messes with your plans. Someone has said, When we plan, we make God laugh. Now, I don't know that that's actually true, but if it is, I'm confident from what Scripture tells us that he is not laughing in a derisive, taunting sort of way. In other words, he doesn't mess with our plans to mock us. He messes with our plans because his plans are so far more superior than our own. Engagements during biblical times were handled quite differently than they are today, in our country especially. Marriages were prearranged by the parents, often when the kids were infants. But there came a point when the couple became aware of the engagement and began to make plans accordingly. I can imagine Joseph. The wedding date is approaching. He's making his own preparations. I can see Mary. The date every young woman lives for is just about here. She is so excited as she and her parents make the final preparations for the wedding. She and Joseph dream about what their married life will look like, and then God messes with their plans. It was never part of their plan that Mary would become pregnant before their wedding day. And certainly the idea of becoming pregnant miraculously and giving birth to the Messiah of God had never entered their minds. To say that Mary was a little taken aback by the news that she was pregnant was an understatement. I mean, she was a God-fearing young lady who honored God and her body by never having had sexual activity encounters prior to this time. Notice in Luke's account how she asked the angel who told her that she would become impregnated by the Holy Spirit in chapter 1, verse 34. How will this be, since I am a virgin? She asked. Joseph's reaction was, well, a little different. He had a huge decision to make. Could he really believe Mary when she claimed to have remained sexually pure and faithful to him? I mean, is it really possible that she had miraculously become pregnant with the Son of God? Or was this just the most far-fetched, made-up story that he had ever heard? Should he break the engagement with her? Well, we know the rest of the story, don't we? Joseph, by faith, did believe that Mary had remained pure and virtuous. He did marry her, and she did give birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But today, I want to try my best to tilt the story just a little bit and offer you three different angles or observations that you might not have previously considered. And I want to encourage you to make it personal, to ask yourself how this story of Jesus' birth relates to you. How to respond then when God messes with your plans. Here's my sermon in a sentence today. When God messes with your plans, ask God to help you respond like Mary and Joseph and believe that his plans are better than yours. Three observations to draw from our Bible text here today. Here's the first. God didn't ask Joseph and Mary. He told them. Nowhere in the passage does the angel announce God's plan and then turn to Mary and Joseph and ask them if God's plan was acceptable to them. God simply told them his plan and his will for their lives because he knew what was best for them. It was their responsibility to trust God by faith. And that's our responsibility as well, to trust the character of God, that he loves you with an everlasting life if you belong to him, to by faith believe that if you somehow knew everything that God knows, the end from the beginning, and if you had the eternal wisdom that God has, that you wouldn't change a thing. His plans, you would know, are best for you. How many of you are doing what you planned to do when you were in seventh grade? Most of us aren't doing what we thought we would be doing when we graduated from high school. Some of you aren't doing what you went to college for. I have found that the majority of the plans that I had as a young person are radically different than what has really come to pass. And it was God who choreographed all of it. And never once did he ask my permission. Why do you suppose that he doesn't ask me? I'm sure that it's because many times I would have told him no. And in the process, I would have missed out on a multitude of his blessings that he had planned into my life. What if God had asked Mary and she had said, "No, I can't handle this. I don't want to face the humiliation of being falsely judged by others, of being made fun of." She would have missed out on the absolute one-of-a-kind opportunity to give birth to God's Messiah, the Son of God, of birthing her own Savior. Listen, God has a plan for your life. His plan is good. It's the best. It's just exactly what you need in order for him to do the sanctifying work in you in order to make you more like Jesus. Because that's what he wants to do in your life. It may be uncomfortable at times. I'm sure that it will be. From what I read in the Bible, I can pretty much guarantee it. I can only imagine how uncomfortable for Mary it was to be pregnant and to try and explain to her fiancé how it was that she was pregnant, to her parents, to her friends. But look at the blessing she received and the blessing she became when she submitted to God's plans for her life with a God-honoring spirit. He has plans for you that he devised before he even created the world. And guess what? He has no intention of revealing them to you ahead of time. Nor does he intend to ask you for permission. We went deep into that last week when we were in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, that Jesus is both Savior and Lord, that He is sovereign. He is the sovereign authority and Lord over life. You can choose to rebel against His plans for you, but things will not go well for you. Rebellion against God ensures your life will be filled with unhappiness and disappointment and a lack of fulfillment. Rather, submit to the one who loves you, to the one who gave His Son to pay for your redemption on the cross. And if He's done that for you, He will not withhold from you any good thing, He tells us in His Word. Just remember, unlike the beautiful wrapping on your gifts under the Christmas tree, God's gifts to you aren't always that pretty on the outside. So when God messes with your plans, ask Him to help you respond like Mary and Joseph did, and believe and trust Him that His plans are better than yours. God didn't ask Mary and Joseph. He told them. That's the first observation that I want to challenge you to consider in the Christmas story. Here's a second one. God's plan for Mary and Joseph was not an easy one. I don't know where we get this misplaced idea that everything in life will go well for us when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. That notion does not come from God's Word. It's nowhere to be found in God's Word. Nor does it line up with the good news of Jesus' gospel. Contrary to the false doctrine of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that teaches that belief in Jesus guarantees that you have a healthy body and a wealthy and prosperous bank account, the Word of God actually tells us otherwise. For Mary and Joseph, God's plan was very difficult. I mean, why didn't God work it out so the tax was collected before they were married or after baby Jesus was born? I mean, He could have done that. He's God. He can do anything, right? Why force a pregnant woman who was near full term to travel to Bethlehem by foot or possibly camel or donkey in a best case scenario? That could not have been very comfortable for her. Also, the baby was born in a barn or a shed and placed in a manger or a feeding trough for animals because they could find no other place to stay. How frustrating for them. Now, God is a sovereign God. He is able because He's also omnipotent, all-powerful. He's able to do anything that He wants or wills. So He is obviously willed that there be no place for them to lodge. God isn't making it easy for them, though they have submitted themselves to His will. I think subconsciously that we just expect life for us to be easy if we know Jesus as our Savior and we're being obedient to God. But that's just lazy theology. If we were more disciplined spiritually to read and study the scriptures, we would see that God just does not work that way. He intends to use painful situations to reveal our pride and our evil desire to be in control. He intends instead to make us more like our humble Savior Jesus, to mold us. Even if your circumstances are uncomfortable, are you comfortable like clay in God the potter's hands? Or are you hardened to his work in you? Here's another why question for you. Why were they forced to flee Bethlehem and go to Egypt? Because of the threat of King Herod. I mean, yes, we see the hand of God at work because he warned them of the danger so that they could flee. But why didn't God just make the king's heart soften so that they wouldn't have to flee at all? He could have, right? God can do anything. Proverbs 21 says, "The heart of the king is in the Lord's hand." So he could have, but he didn't. It was part of God's purpose and plan that they make that difficult trip to Egypt with a 2-year-old in tow. Now, moving ahead several years, it seems to the best of our knowledge that somewhere between the time that the family left Egypt, settled in Nazareth, and Jesus' 30th birthday before he began his public ministry, it seems Joseph died somewhere in between there. There's no mention of him anymore in Scripture or the historical records. So Jesus, being the oldest, became the head of the home, taking care of his mother and his half-brothers and sisters. So even the perfect Son of God learned to accept difficulty in this life. We make a terrible theological blunder when we believe that God is going to make our lives easier just because we've asked Jesus to be our Savior. He preached the opposite. Jesus preached the opposite. In Matthew 7, he taught that the wide and easy, well-paved, well-traveled road was the way that leads to destruction, that it's the straight and narrow and difficult road that leads to eternal life. But few people, Jesus said, are actually on the narrow, difficult road. There's a principle there. Well, there are many, but one to draw from that. When we choose the way that looks the easiest, the one the majority of people in this world are on, we aren't necessarily choosing the will of God. Jesus chose the path that ultimately led to the cross. The Apostle Paul chose a path that led to prison and execution. Both were falsely accused by the people of this world, but both chose paths because they accepted God's will for their lives. God does not promise us an easy road in this life, but he does promise to be with us regardless the level of difficulty we face. Fear not, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. So you may face rivers of sorrow. The fires of life may burn, but they will not consume you. When life ends here, eternal life begins with Him. So God doesn't ask for permission to do His will in your life, and He never promises that His will for your life will be easy. One more observation about Mary and Joseph's life before we finish up. Though things were difficult for them, God greatly blessed them. Despite the trouble that they endured, even as they obeyed and followed God's will for their lives, they came to appreciate what a unique gift God had given them. The blessings that Jesus brought them were beyond their wildest comprehension. Luke 2:52 says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I can't even imagine what life would have been like parenting Jesus, watching the Son of God in the flesh mature physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Can you imagine their reaction when Jesus, as a young boy, like blew them away with this statement after they found him in the temple conversing with the scribes and the Pharisees over Old Testament theology and doctrine? Luke 2:49-51, he says, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" At the end of verse 51, it says, "But his mother kept all these things in her heart." She pondered them. She considered them. I love what it said earlier in that same chapter about Joseph and Mary's response to Jesus Christ as a child, when it says, "And Joseph and Jesus' mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." It was a joy beyond our ability to comprehend it to watch Jesus as he grew up. Ultimately, Jesus grew up to be a blessing to the whole world. Any parent is blessed when their child grows up to be a person of influence and importance in the world. Even more if their child grows up to do something good for all of mankind. Can you even imagine the blessing that Mary must have experienced when her firstborn son, Jesus Christ, after seeing him die violently on the cross, can you imagine what a blessing it was to see him rise victorious over death, over the grave, and live again? Can you imagine what she must have felt as she watched him ascend visibly, bodily, and gradually into heaven, back to the Father? Can you imagine the excitement in her soul when she realized in a tangible way that her son had opened the door to heaven for all who would accept him and receive him as Savior? Listen, church, I know that God's plan for your life isn't always easy. But if you let God work his plan in your life, he will use you to be a blessing to many people. God's plan for Fanny Crosby was that a doctor would give her the wrong medicine when she was a baby that resulted in permanent lifelong blindness. Rather than growing bitter, Fanny Crosby let God use her condition, and she became more spiritually sensitive as a result. And she has written some of the most loved hymns of all time. Jeremy Camp, a more contemporary Christian musician, lost his young wife to cancer several years ago. But he accepted it as the purpose and will of an all-wise, all-loving God, and eventually penned the words to the song, "I Still Believe." God didn't ask Fanny Crosby or Jeremy Camp for permission to include their pain and suffering as part of his plan for their life. And I'm sure neither one of them would have planned it that way. But as difficult as God's plan was, it has resulted in music that has blessed countless numbers of souls suffering with the discouragements and the anxieties and the disappointments of life. And while you and I may not think that our lot is nearly that tragic, nor our influence nearly that broad, if we will agree to follow God's plan, no matter how difficult, eternity will record a far-reaching impact for good because of it. When God messes with your plans, ask him to help you, to enable you to respond like Mary and Joseph, and believe that his plans are better than yours. Let's pray. Father, oh, how many life lessons, biblical truths and applications we can draw from your word. The eternal depths of wisdom and knowledge will be something, no doubt, that we will plumb for all of eternity. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take these observations from the life of Mary and Joseph, lives that we often tend to glamorize, when in fact they were difficult, they were hard, and yet they were still blessed. So Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one under the sound of my voice, those who are struggling with life, difficulties that they're going through. Lord, I pray that you might give them the ability, that you might enable them to ask for the help, the grace, the support that you provided Mary and Joseph in the midst of their own trials. And Lord, that you would bless the listener. Use it for your glory, for your kingdom purposes, and might they be a blessing to the people around them as they accept from you, in all of your wisdom, whatever things are included, painful or otherwise, in your plan for their life. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas to you, and God bless.